This is Dr. Ivan Wolfson of the Dr. Ivan Show. I am a clinician with 20 years of experience. I help people work through many types of relationship and adjustment-related issues. I am here to help you better manage the needs of your aging parents and help you help yourself in the process. I've got some really, really bad news for everybody today. Your parents are ultimately going to die. I know you know this, but are you prepared for this? That may not happen today or tomorrow. And this is something that none of us want to happen. But we all know that this will happen to all of us. And I can tell you from having lost my father just 3.5 short years ago that it can be absolutely devastating. And even if you think you are prepared for this inevitable loss, in some ways, there's really nothing that you can do to be fully prepared for the death of your parent. I distinctly remember the very last time that my father was well enough to visit me in my own home. He had been slowly declining, both cognitively and physically, for years. However, this was something that my family and I had always quite naturally compensated for. So it was as though it barely registered, because we didn't want it to register. It's not that the information wasn't before us. That was until one day, while seated on the couch in my family room, I had taken notice of that terribly distant look in my father's eyes. He had been staring off into space for quite some time at that point, without much, if any, indication of any meaningful thought occurring to him. That is, the wheels in his mind appeared not to be turning as they used to. So I walked over and sat next to him. And I remember vividly saying, "Hey, Dad, what are you thinking about?" To which he responded, "Who, me? I'm not thinking about anything," he said. And then he went back to that distant place in his mind, a place where he could not really be reached. This is the point when it hit me. I think I knew at that very moment that this would likely be the very last time that he might be able to visit me and my wife and son in our home. It became more clear that I had chosen not to see the many physical cognitive signs of profound decline that had been before me for so many months. And it was this which I had willingly chose to ignore, because I could not bear to accept this painful reality. So then, in an effort to distract myself from this bothersome reality, I remember picking up my then 3-year-old son and placing him on my father's lap, as though this greatest of grandparents' joy would somehow magically awaken the playful gentleman within him. But as you might have guessed, this was no longer available within him. I found this to be terribly heartbreaking. It was so sad. And at this point, silently struggling within myself to contain my emotions, I thought it might be wise to retrieve my camera, to snap a photograph, evidence of my father in my home, something that I wished to preserve and I knew was quickly escaping me. I wanted to capture this last moment of home-based family togetherness, multi-generational togetherness, and preserve whatever part of it that still remained for myself and my son and wife to have something in the way of a tangible memory to hold on to well into the future before it had completely escaped us. Now that he is gone and has been for some time, I find that looking upon those pictures I had taken of my father on his last visit with me, to my house, I find these pictures to be more disturbing than comforting. These pictures absolutely do not serve the intended purpose, but rather seem to cement the painful image of my father already at that point, having arrived at that unreachable place of emotional and intellectual unavailability, which so clearly is evident in those photographs. These pictures have become a symbolic representation to me of my father's profound decline and painful reminder of the process of his ultimate passing. It leaves me wondering how that could have taken place without my brothers or I even taking notice. Now I realized that I had failed to see some things that must have been present for quite some time before, as the level of impairment he had exhibited is not typically something that happens over the course of days or weeks or even months. I need you to know that if this is something that can happen to me, a trained professional in the field of human behavior and cognition, that is certainly something that can happen to you. Please, I urge you to learn from my oversight. It is not that the information of his decline had not been available to me or my brothers to see before it finally hit me. It was that I chose not to see. I chose not to see my father's decline for what it was, while it was happening, because I didn't want to see it or believe it. I chose to ignore and avoid it completely, and perhaps engage in the all too common form of wishful thinking. Somehow, as though magically in my mind, and I know so many people do this, the thought, subconscious as it were, must have been that failing to acknowledge something upsetting and disappointing would somehow prevent or at least delay the disturbing reality from occurring. Now it's true, and we all know this, your parents are going to die. And though you can never be completely prepared for this, you absolutely must do all that you can to ready yourself for this inevitability. Now, this is important, both to prevent you from becoming completely overwhelmed, and also to help you do a better job in supporting your parent in their declining process. This is something that is of paramount importance, and I know it might be a little bit of a disturbing topic, but it's something that I strongly believe that we need to get into today in today's show, and it's something that you need to more actively think about. And I don't mean in a morbid sense. This isn't something that I'm trying to disturb you with. Quite the contrary. I think if you do what you need to do to get yourself in a place of preparedness, readiness to accept the inevitability, you may, paradoxically speaking, become even more available to your parent in their greatest time of need. You may be less likely to be adversely affected by your own coping and grieving and traumatic experience, and more likely to be resolved and available in the best way possible. Now, again, it's not easy. It will not be pleasant. I am absolutely not trying to paint a picture that's a beautiful one here. We're talking about responsibility. We're talking about self-preservation in an emotional sense. We're talking about doing the right thing by both yourself and your extended family member. And we're absolutely speaking about doing right by your parent who needs you more than you need. And as I've said many times on the show, and I'll continue to say because it is just so very true, Your parents don't even know how much they need you. They can't know how much they need you because this is the first time that they're going through the process of dying. So I'm hopeful that your parent is not at that point yet. And you may feel that your parent is so far away from that, 20, 30, 40 years away, that it's not even relevant now. Well, I'm telling you, it's never too soon to start to prepare yourself for the inevitable. Be there for yourself, be there for your parent, and stay tuned. We've got more coming after this short commercial break.
Hi, Nick. Come on. Bar, and I'm looking for some action, but like Mick Jagger said, I can't get no satisfaction. The girls are all around, but none of them.
This is Dr. Ivan Wolfson of the Dr. Ivan Show. I am here to help you better manage the needs of your aging parents and help you help yourself in the process. We have Jacob on the line. Jacob, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you. Yeah, I think that's right. Not just helping them, but you said help yourself in the process.
Absolutely.
I'm going to kind of vent here as to what happened to me. It was pretty rough, because while she was ready, I mean, personally, I mean, she,
speaking about your mother,
made
sir,
it to heaven. Yes.
Okay.
She made it to heaven, but for me, I wasn't ready. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't understand it. And so when I went on a trip, I had no idea, but when I got back, after 2 weeks, she'd probably been dead the same day that I left, maybe, or at least maybe the next day. And so when I came back, it was the worst experience of my life. And that matters a lot. So I would say, stick close to them at the end. I didn't realize just how close, and you need to really, really, if you suspect it, don't run away. Not that I was running away, but the smell is so horrible.
Yeah.
And it was quite a cleanup.
Traumatic, I'll tell you. And I am so sorry about your loss. You know, though I don't know you, and I don't know your mother, and I appreciate you sharing this heart-wrenching kind of a story. And I love what you said at the onset, that you're bright enough to look beyond your own grief, to understand that your mother likely was ready and is now at peace in heaven. If you don't mind, though, I'd like to offer you a possible another perspective. Again, I don't know you, so it may or may not apply. However, in my work in this field, I've had the privilege of working with hundreds of families, and I find it far too common an occurrence to feel it to be an accident, that people who are there for their parent, people who are doing the right thing, are there every day in the most beautiful way, they step out of the room for 5 minutes and their parent passes. Or they go home to take a shower for the first time in 4 days or even a week, and that's when their parent passes. My point here is that oftentimes I do believe, at least I like to believe, that the person who is declining has some small measure of influence, control over their own process and going when they go. And I know that loved ones, when they're trying to take care of other people they love, especially a parent, they often feel, even if they can't articulate this, that they don't want to die in the presence of their family members. Again, everybody's different, but I think that explains to me why so many times people who are trying to be there for their parent till the end and be there in that moment don't get that opportunity. It's not that you failed in any way, shape, or form. It might just have been her last gift to you to save you from the trauma of seeing that process unfold. Do you think that might relate at all to you?
I think that can be possible. I don't know if that's possible in my situation, but I do think that could be very possible. Whereas people, they may hold on and hold out and then just give up when they want to give up. My mother, she happened to fall out of her wheelchair. I could see when I came back, she'd fallen out. So I don't know exactly how that happened, but she couldn't
get
up.
So it wasn't that she lost her, right. So it wasn't where she lost her will or was trying to kind of like, you know, just
I don't think it was because
and it was more of an accident, a traumatic fall. I see.
The reason I don't believe it is because she somehow had reached her pillows from her bed, but the bed was low. That's how she wanted it, low.
Right.
And she pulled some things together, and she pulled it and made it into like something to prop her head up and lay there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know that she was alive at the time. And the way I see it is that she may have actually, well, there's no way she could have gotten to the water.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way she could have drank water after that. I don't know, but it's possible that she may have just died of thirst. For all I know, I'm not really sure.
I hear you, and it's difficult
really
to
say.
Speculate, right?
But
how is
really
it that
a
you're
bad cleanup?
No, I hear you. But how are you taking care of yourself, though? I mean, in light of this profound loss, this tragedy, what is it that you're able to do for yourself at this point to help kind of yourself pass the trauma?
Well, first off, I reached out to my pastor. My family all blamed me. They all blamed me. The cops actually blamed me at first.
Boy, that's the worst.
They had me interrogated and everything. And but in the end, they found out that I was taking very good care of her. But
age-old story of being guilty until proven innocent. I hear you. What a terrible kind of insult to injury. But you were ultimately cleared.
Basically,
your family, you say, was
out to my,
your
yeah.
pastor was helpful. That's amazing.
Very helpful. And what he did, since he's not in the country, he sent an MP3, and we played it at the funeral, and it really lit everybody up, and it made things. He put it in perspective for somehow he did, and everything kind of smoothed out from there. But it was very, like you said, traumatic for a long time. And just today, remembering the things today makes me a little shaky, but I'm stable. And I do wish she was here. I wish you could see certain things now, but yeah,
you clearly are a survivor.
It's been a process.
I mean, I love how your strong desire to kind of help yourself heal, which is the healthiest thing to do, was to give you good direction to reach out to this pastor, this person who had been through this experience before, had known how to comfort people, who makes his life's work dealing with all of the larger life process experiences. What a wise move on your part, and I'm so glad that you allowed his kind words and knowledge to be comforting. I thank you for sharing your story today, sir. It's been an invaluable resource to the good people listening, and hopefully we can all learn a little something from it. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Hey, please stay tuned. We'll be back after these messages. You're listening to the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network. This is the Dr. Ivan Show. This is Dr. Ivan Wolfson of The Dr. Ivan Show. I am here to help you better manage the needs of your aging parents and help you help yourself in the process. We're talking about a very, very difficult topic today, and that is preparing yourself in advance of a loved one's passing. And boy, from my experience, nothing could be worse than losing a parent. The parent typically is the person who was the model of strength and vitality to you. It was the person who you turned to in your youth to understand that everything was going to be okay. The person who earlier on in your life may have seemed to have all the answers. It's akin to, I remember vividly, losing my childhood physician. The doctor I went to keep me healthy. When my parent told me when I was still a young child that Dr. Gerber died, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't even comprehend that. It was something that there hadn't been a prior thought for. I wasn't able to put that anywhere neatly or comfortably. And I struggled quietly in just resolving that for myself. Well, I think in a very similar way, a lot of people are equally unprepared for their parents' passing. And don't get me wrong, this isn't a positive, happy, uplifting topic. It's not something that I'm saying is, hey, no big deal. It's a huge deal, which is all the more reason why I think we need to think about these things and prepare for these things well in advance of them actually occurring. We have TJ on the line. TJ, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. So am I correct understanding that you're on the younger side and thankfully have not really gone through this personally?
That's correct. I'm 21 years old, and death is something that I think about a lot. Not as you said in the beginning in a morbid way, but kind of
right.
It's the end point for all of us. You know, there's no beginning without an end.
Boy, you seem ahead of your years to be so young and aware of this life issue. Again, it's something that on a common sense kind of perspective, we all get it. We all know it. But would you agree that more people than not, at least people that I know, I would imagine same for you, tend not to be proactive in kind of addressing this and resolving this for themselves?
I guess I would agree with that. But the thing is, that perspective that I have right now, I guess, is coming from a point of view that hasn't, you know, really had experience yet with death, as you said just now. I just kind of wonder how, when you have a personal loved one, as close as a parent or even a close family member, how would that frame of view change before and after, you know what I mean?
Well, absolutely. And so, but you say that you think about this, not in a morbid sense, but it's something that despite your younger age, it's something that you're responsibly aware of. What are some of your thoughts about this in preparation or even just kind of preparation, I should say, for life as much as for, you know, the loss of a loved one?
I guess preparing for that with a loved one can very much feed into your own life down the line. But it's something that I think about more and more now because my grandmother just recently got divorced, and so she's kind of living on her own, and kind of one of the nightmarish hypothetical outcomes for me is something the story of the caller that you just received previously, something like that. It's you don't even know about it if something happened, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's something that we're never prepared for, and there's never a good time. And so I think the best any of us can do is to kind of stack the deck in our favor and in our loved one's favor. And the prior caller, I think, did everything humanly possible. I mean, he's to be commended. And despite having been there in a big way for his mother, these things sometimes happen. And so there is no guarantee, as we like to believe there might be, that we can prevent or avert, you know, a tragedy or a disaster. What I think we can do is try to keep them as low a probability as possible. And toward that end, and again, I'm all for independence and autonomy and allowing an aging loved one, a parent or a grandparent, to stay in their own home for as long as possible. That's where everybody wants to be, for good reason.
Oh, definitely.
However, I think it's important to understand when there are issues of medical compromise and there are psychological decline that has to be dealt with, sometimes the best place is not the most preferred place, if you know what I mean. Sometimes the best place is in a place where you can have some daily oversight by nursing professionals, by people who are expert in this arena, so that when you aren't physically able to be there, you know that your loved one's getting the best quality care. Is that something that you've thought about? Again, it's stopping well short of saying that you're
Oh, well,
gonna place grandma in a home.
not in that capacity, I don't think, because she's in like pretty good health.
Right.
But it's just thinking like lately, I guess, like down the line, like as much as like, I don't know, 5 years, 10 years, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think that it's never too early to start the conversations and say, hey, listen, our goal is for you to be 105 and living in your own place and vital. And so nobody's, trying to rob you of the control. But I think you have to kind of educate yourself. You have to be aware of what options are available to promote well-being. And toward that end, I mean, I'm always speaking about the importance of assessment and how are you able to actively assess and objectify a person's, level of functioning, right? I mean, it's so many times, as was the case with my own father, you're just making excuses for decline when it does happen. You say, well, that's okay. I'm happy to drive. I know he can't drive anymore. And well, yeah, I know he doesn't quite remember things, but you know what? I don't remember everything as well. I think there's some wishful thinking that's often a part of that scenario. But the best advice I can give to you, not that you're looking for it, is that you're doing the right thing just by being aware of this and by thinking about this proactively and maybe even considering kind of having the conversations with your parents or your grandparent and asking them, hey, what would you want? And help me know kind of what your thoughts are on this and just open that door to communicating about this so that it doesn't have to be the taboo subject that it typically is.
I guess if I were curious for any kind of advice in particular, I guess it's kind of an obvious thing, but like continuing on the thing of like me not like having any particular experience with, like the passing of a loved one. Do you ever kind of find a common thread of patients in the past who like who have experienced like death for the first time? That's like something that like is something that can be prepared for and made like more easier, kind of softer landing when that happens to people in advance for that.
Yeah, I do find that, like with anything in life, you can be more or less prepared for it. And though we, by design, understand that it will be difficult, it should. I mean, by the time my father passed, I was very painfully aware that the end was coming. And I was able to spend all the time I needed to with him and ensure his well-being to the point of that which was possible. But I remember just being, struck with profound grief in the moment. I had the privilege of actually being bedside as he passed and was stroking his hair as he took his last breath. And that was a gift that a lot of people don't get. And a lot of it was just luck that I happened to get the call of a nurse in the middle of the night that alerted me to, get in on over there while I could. But the point here is that, yes, you can be relatively well prepared for this, and it can take a lot of the unnecessary trauma out of this traumatic experience. It can help you kind of like make peace with it when you still have an opportunity to influence, if that makes sense. And so that's where I'm always saying, open that door, those lines of communication. Think about these things. Figure out where you stand. If you need to supplement your own information about what may or may not happen after a person passes, speak to clergy. Do some study. It's never too early to start that process of kind of, supporting yourself and preparing yourself for what we all know is inevitable. I thank you so much for calling and I appreciate your insights.
Thank you.
All right. Please stay tuned. We have a lot more coming. I want to speak with you about what we can do to better prepare ourselves to start thinking about the things that might be the first step in readying yourself for this inevitability. It is a difficult topic, and I appreciate you all staying with me on this topic. I think sometimes some of the more important things that we have to address in life aren't necessarily the most enjoyable things to hear about or talk about, but I think it speaks to everybody out there's strength and courage in staying tuned with this difficult topic. It's a life issue for all of us. Please stay tuned. We'll be back in a few. This is Dr. Ivan Wolfson of The Dr. Ivan Show. I'm here to help you better manage the needs of your aging parents and help you help yourself in the process. If you have a question or comment for me, feel free to call me at 866-606-8255. We're talking about a very difficult but important topic today. We're talking about how one prepares themselves for the end point of the larger life process. How do you deal with a loved one dying, particularly a parent? And although you can never completely prepare yourself for this, you must absolutely do all that you can to ready yourself for this inevitability. It's important both to prevent you from becoming completely overwhelmed as well as helping you do a better job to support your loved one who is in a declining process of their own. I know it's not anything that anybody wants to deal with, and we all have that healthy tendency to kind of push things away and not look at things that are unsightly emotionally or physically. But I think we all would agree that it's the most responsible thing to do, not to become consumed by or overwhelmed by this stuff. In fact, quite the contrary. Think about these things well in advance of being presented with them, in preparation for them, so as to prevent becoming overwhelmed by these things to the best of our ability. And I'd like to speak now about some specific strategies that you might find helpful in dealing with this difficult but necessary experience of the decline of a loved one. First, and most importantly, I think it's key to just kind of wake up, right? I mean, regularly observe your parents' level of functioning and do so more actively and more fully. As I had said earlier in the show, I too kind of fell into a pattern of kind of making excuses for what was before me. When I saw my father's decline, I said, you know, that's a normal thing, no big deal. I forget some things too sometimes. And I was trying to kind of self-soothe, which, you know, may have been okay in the moment, but really it didn't do me any great service because it left me largely unprepared for the reality when it was so blatant, I couldn't help but be struck by it. And so listen fully and carefully. Watch them closely. Take notice of how your loved one walks and how they manage their daily tasks and what things they do remember or don't remember. Are they managing well their medication regimen, or do they run out of medicine before they try to get the prescription renewed? Another good indicator is their driving. Is their reaction time smooth and responsive and appropriate, or is it delayed? These are things that kind of can give you an indicator as to things maybe starting to decline. 2, emotionally prepare yourself for the possibility of seeing decline in your parent. And by emotionally, I mean help yourself deal with the feelings associated with that. Don't let the disturbing thought overwhelm you so emotionally that you can't look at it. I think you have to kind of comfort yourself and support yourself through it, but deal with the tough stuff of life. I think avoiding it or kind of traumatizing yourself by it, by just jumping into the pool, is reckless. You can do so in a more kind of gradual, supportive, responsible way. 3, to the best of your ability, and this might be something that can only occur kind of down the road after you've done some work toward this larger objective of kind of preparing yourself for the inevitability of a person passing, but an important thing nonetheless is to help yourself reframe the process. Try to kind of create your own healthier understanding of what is happening or when it is to happen to your loved one. And disengage from the power struggle that so many people get into with not only their loved one, but with themselves. You can have a debate in your mind of kind of actively avoiding something because your thought otherwise would be far too disturbing to deal with it. And in so doing, you're keeping yourself at a greater distance than is helpful. I think we have to accept the difficulty, but the fact that death is an inherent part of the larger life process. And 4, support yourself and other family members. Talk with others who can relate, people who have gone through this, people who you know understand, and people who can offer you perspective, insight, information that you obviously are free to accept or reject based on your own beliefs, but it opens the door and gets the conversation flowing and helps you to kind of stimulate your own active thinking process toward the objective of resolution. You can include family members or friends who have been through this previously. You can attend a support group or even go to a professional such as a psychologist or a social worker. And as the prior caller wisely had done, you can reach out to clergy because they too have a great deal of experience in dealing with this, probably personally as well as professionally, but they've had a lot of exposure to this and have a lot of great insight in that they've developed in the process. You know, many times over the years, physicians have referred spouses or children of the declining individual to me to help them cope with their upset and frustration of a loved one declining. And I think that's a really, really important thing to think about because so often we think about only the person who is in the position of compromise as the recipient of a treatment process, but you can be proactive as well. You don't have to be the one who's most sick to intervene. In fact, I always like to say in my practice that it's preferable to have an opportunity to meet with somebody before there is a crisis. You don't want to necessarily utilize a treatment process solely for crisis management or putting out fires. So think about it. It might take a session or two. It wouldn't necessarily need to be a long-term process, but think about if that might be something that could be helpful to you or another loved one who is in close proximity to a parent who is passing. We've talked about this very, very difficult topic for the entire show, and I'm so thankful that you stayed with me on this and that you understand the importance of this. This is something that you owe it to yourself and to your parent to do the best job with that you possibly can. And the best way, I think, to intervene with respect to anything for that matter is to do so proactively, to do so before you're in a position of being confronted with the worst of it. I thank you for listening. This has been the Dr. Ivan Show. I'm Dr. Ivan Wolfson. I'll be back next on Monday, February 15th at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Until then, please take care of yourself and your parents. Bye now.
The opinions you hear on Lifestyle Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Lifestyle Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Lifestyle Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Lifestyle Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at lifestyletalkradio.com.